Now, over the time I have been presenting the travel show on Talk Radio, I have interviewed some remarkable people who've done some remarkable things. However, my next guest, I think, is just about sort of tops the lot. 30-year-old Tony Giles has travelled the world and seen more thrills and spells than most of us will in a lifetime. But he's totally blind and has lost 80% of his hearing. Tony Giles, welcome to the programme.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Seeing the World My Way is the book that follows your journey of hedonism, thrill-seeking adventure as you travel across North America, Asia. My goodness me, what haven't you done?
Oh, quite a few things.
You're catching up by the sound of it.
No, well, you know, some of the big four, I call them, I've still got to do. Mm-hmm. India, China, Russia, and Japan. And plus another 204 countries, so...
Now, this is a remarkable story, Tony. Now, obviously, I'm talking to you. You have special, obviously, hearing aids to help you to hear.
I've got digital hearing aids that give me about probably 85% one-on-one.
Fantastic.
And probably about 75% on a phone or in a group.
Now, that is remarkable. So technology really does help you. Tell us a little bit about your background, because you lost your eyesight and your hearing at a fairly young age. What was it that motivated you and drove you on to sort of go onto universities and gain degrees and then start sort of living a life, definitely?
I was born with my eye condition cone dystrophy, which means I don't have any cones. I don't have any colour vision.
Mm-hmm.
I was born with that. Mm-hmm. I was very, very light sensitive from birth. Which meant I could see objects and shapes.
Mm-hmm.
I needed dark glasses, and once my eye condition was diagnosed, mm-hmm. when I was about 9-10 months old, it was my mum's idea that, you know, I had an older brother and an older sister, so she knew I was just as normal and as intelligent as them.
Indeed.
Which was lucky. So basically, you know, once I started running around from a toddler and I was moving, I was basically, you know, brought up normally as possible, and my brother and sister play with me, and you know, then from 3 or 4 I was out in the street playing with my friends, and I had a big three-wheel bike I could ride around on, and you know, and from that early age I was, you know, put in an environment where, you know, I was allowed to be normal and mixed with people and given the confidence to, you know, just play and do things. But I think it was going to boarding school that really gave me that desire to travel.
Okay.
Initially, just to go home and see my family, because mm-hmm. I was at boarding school in Coventry,
mm-hmm.
In the West Midlands, which is about 100 miles, 150 kilometres from my home.
From, which is Western Supermare, your family?
Yeah, so. Western Supermare mm-hmm. was where I was born. So, yeah, I was very, very lucky that I had a superb mobility officer
mm-hmm.
who decided that I was going to be able and independent and go out and do things.
In the face of such adversity, you had a kind of almost normal younger growing up process,
yeah,
didn't you?
I mean,
which
you
helps
know,
a great deal when you've got brothers and sisters and parents that are so, so determined. Yeah. And
my mum was very positive, you know.
Good.
And
yes.
She decided, well.
Making you feel normal, and because of yourself, you understand, I know that I don't have all my faculties, but... I have my mind, I have my limbs, so...
Yeah, and you don't really think about it at that age. It's not, I mean, your thought process, I don't suppose, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, whether they start kicking in, you just play with people and, you know, if you're happy, then you get on with it, don't you? If you're not happy,
indeed.
Then you moan or you go and tell someone.
Well, Tony, you went to Northampton University. You gained a Bachelor's of Arts degree in American Studies. Then you a Master's degree in Transatlantic Studies from Birmingham University. But you've travelled from a young age, obviously with family. You continue to experience new parts of the world. But when you sort of started to do the journeys, how do people receive you? How do you make them sort of treat you as a normal person?
Well, people can see me in all kinds of ways. Lots of people stare, which I don't know about unless someone tells me.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I've been dealing with my disability knowingly since, you know, about 10, 12, when I was at boarding school and being bullied and vice versa. And luckily that I went to boarding school with children with every disability you could think of.
Really?
Mm-hmm. My best friend had muscular dystrophy.
Right.
And he was in a wheelchair. And, you know, when he started off, he could move his hands, and eventually he couldn't move anything. Mm-hmm. But we developed a very close friendship, and it taught me that being blind and being deaf wasn't the most difficult thing in the world.
Exactly. And the kids, this was a special needs boarding school, well, from what you've just been telling me. That so you met up sort of conditions, different conditions, and understanding yourself. Well, you know, I've got both my hands and my limbs. I can walk. I can do things that this guy in a wheelchair can't do. So, and you think,
he couldn't. He couldn't walk. He couldn't move. But he could play a musical keyboard with a wooden spoon in his mouth.
Fantastic. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it taught me an awful lot. And he died when he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And that also taught me a lot eventually.
To live life to the full.
Sorry?
To live life to the full.
Yeah, I live life to the full, and that's, you know, taught me the same. But, you know, meeting people, it just, and you get all different kinds of responses. Most people want to help, but are a bit nervous about doing it and how to approach
indeed
disabled people. But I just try and break the ice. You know, I'll make jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. There's always the thing, is it, to crack those jokes, get people at their ease, and then
relax them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, they see me travelling around, and the first thing they question is, "Who are you travelling with?" And I say, "Oh, I'm by myself."
Amazing.
And they're flabbergasted. They can't believe it. And I say, "Yeah, I just want to, you know, explore the world and do things."
Well, when I first read the notes here, and I thought to myself, you know, here's somebody you've got to take seriously, and you've also got to know that the guy has obviously got great humour to sort of go through life like this. In fact, I've got a little sort of saying here. Life is short, break the rules, forgive quickly, kiss slowly, love truly, laugh uncontrollably, and never, ever regret anything that made you smile.
That's it.
is that summed up what you get up to and how you live your life?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it might fit.
I learned that when I was 16, 17.
Indeed.
You know, and once I got my head around it and understood it, life is short and I want to live it to the full. I want to do everything and feel everything. Because when you're blind, the only way you can see things is by feeling it, literally.
True
enough.
And
I want all that. My brain, fortunately or unfortunately, is very active.
And you do those senses and those ways in which you sort of adapt to situations, they become far more acute, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to work at them. They're not naturally, you know, people think, oh, because you're blind, your other senses don't naturally turn on. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do anything with them, they don't become more sensitized.
Now, the book, Seeing the World My Way, as you say, you're totally blind. Obviously, you would obviously read Braille. Did you write this book in Braille, or how did you actually come about it?
No, I could have, but it would have taken me even longer, probably. No,
dictation.
I got a computer with a speech program called JAWS.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to touch type without speech at school when I was about 11, 12. And then you get any good typist will tell you don't look at the keys anyway.
I know that. Well, I touch type as well, so I understand what you're saying.
But then I don't know, 17, 18, speech software started coming in, so I use that. So when I type each letter, it speaks to me, and I can use the internet, emails, and I can, I wrote the book.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because you mentioned there, you know, learn to type, and obviously you've got technology in computers and voice recognition programs and software now. So it's combining what I would call a very, very traditional way of writing, using a typewriter keyboard. Of course, as we know, a QWERTY keyboard does exist with computers. And of course, nowadays, of course, you can also just speak into a computer, can't you? And it and talk back to you as well. So
all kinds of things if you want it.
Seeing the World My Way is your first book, and you're now working on a sequel. Tell us a little bit about what actually will be in the books. I mean, you know Shrinking Violet, you've done bungee jumping in New Zealand, your booze-filled nights out in New Orleans. I mean, you don't just stand in the corner and look at everybody else, do you?
No. Well, at least not when sober.
Travel the world in a whole new way with Tony Giles Frank, honest and exhilarating, romp through an adrenaline-fueled experience after another. Well, I do wish you well, and it's been a real pleasure to talk to you, Tony, and congratulations to you, and I will also say congratulations to your brothers and sisters, your family, for believing in you and helping you, and then, of course, you say, right, I'm going to do it my way, sort of thing.
Thank you. And just to say that the book is now out on Amazon, and you can also order it from www.silverwoodbooks.com, and you can also go onto my website www.tonythetraveller.com.
And he even knows how to plug his own books. We were going to do that for you. We also have on our own website, talkradio.com. People can go and look at the book there. And it takes them onto the purchase sites as well. Tony Giles, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for giving us your time. And I wish you lots and lots of fun, filled days and nights, and lots more books. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for speaking to me. Thanks a lot.